I stepped through the door, into the next memory, and was stabbed in the stomach before my feet touched the other side. I fell to my knees, clutching at the blade, but the unknown soldier held it firmly in place. All I could do was struggle. Echoes of war surrounded me as my face hit hot sand, burning against it. My eyelids closed. Pain abandoned me, and I died. But here's the thing about death. I was good at it. I had almost died so many times that when the familiar darkness swallowed me, trying to force me down, I knew how to counter it. I took a breath and returned to the battlefield as my murderer stood over me, shocked as I pulled the blade out of my chest. My blood mixed with the sand, forming wet clumps. I impaled the soldier on his own sword and then forced him to the ground. His death was nothing more than a long-ago memory, and yet it felt as real as if I had done it with my own two hands. A plume of smoke hit the ground next to me, and Rion appeared in his human form, arms crossed.
That soldier nearly got the best of you.
He caught me off guard. Nothing more.
Idris's voice came out of my mouth as the wound in my chest healed. I was in control again, brushing the dirt and dust off my clothes as I gazed upon the battlefield. I didn't recognize it, but one day I would. The Desert of 1,000 Craters. It was located between the Theban Empire and New Dracon City on the wrong side of the Iliar mountain range. If history was to be believed, it was where the Wolven Kings had fought their bloodiest battle. Both moons were still in the sky, so Salona hadn't been shattered yet. Would it happen during this battle? Or another?
Domei wants us to clear a path to the heart of the battle. The brothers are already there, slapping each other like children. He's planning on ending the war here.
He's said that for the last 5 battles, and every time whenever we get close to the brothers, they scatter. Domei scares them more than each other.
It's because his issue with them goes beyond politics, morals, or the well-being of this world. That man made a 4th faction to fight them after his sister's death. That's not sane. Especially when he would have been the right-hand man to anyone he joined.
Sometimes we act for our own sanity, not according to what others want or say. The choice separates the fools from the wise.
Are you calling me a fool, Idris?
Domei appeared behind us. He was in the same armor he'd worn in the hollow below the broken city. Only now, translucent red worms seemed to be crawling out of his skin like a sentient rash.
Because I won't disagree with you. But you should watch your tongue in public. Others may not be as self-aware as I am.
Just beyond the Titans, an isolated storm raged over an oasis. Dark clouds and walls of heavy rain made little of the area visible. But there was no doubt in my head that the Wolven Kings were fighting under it. And yet, it was still 3 armies, 2 Titans, and an entire life away. Could I get there without dying? And if I could, how was I supposed to get the 3rd Wolven King's name from one of them? Being lucky enough to overhear it was the only solution that wouldn't end in total disaster.
The others will keep the Titans preoccupied. Are you going to use your dragon form, Idris? Or do you still consider yourself above it?
I have pledged my life to end this war, and I will do it my way. If we lose our humanity in search of lofty ideals, we are no better than the Wolven Kings.
Noble to a fault. But I knew what I was getting into when I invited you to become a dragon. Your parents were the shining example of righteousness that the King of Kings liked to ramble on about. How do you expect to get through the army? Will you at least use your fabrications and weaving abilities?
Yes. Watch me carve a path through the hordes.
Rion looked at me, concerned, but took off into the air with a plume of smoke. I knew Domei well enough to understand when to press for more information and when not to, and to no one's surprise, I was about to be a thorn in the memory version of his ass when 2 soldiers swarmed us. Idris's body was stronger and faster than my own, so I was able to duck and weave through their lunges before separating hands from arms and heads from torsos with a sword. Domei shook his head as their bodies hit the sand.
May there be peace in death for you all.
Then he looked at me.
Get on with it, Idris. You're not scared of them, are you?
Never. And like a fool, I charged into the battle and, inadvertently, to my death. The battle was designed to kill me. All the weapons were either made from the magic crystal or were coated in a thin, translucent layer of it. I was killed 6 steps after leaving Dome's side, half a dozen arrows impaling me in the face. Idris's spellborn abilities did nothing to save me. But before I could fall to the floor, everything stopped. Then the war seemed to reset, and I was back at Dome's side again.
Get on with it, Idris. You're not scared of them, are you?
Before I could rush off again or fully understand what had happened, Idris appeared in front of me. He looked carefully optimistic as everything stopped around us.
I'm sorry, Michael, but this is where we part ways.
What's happening here? I died, and yet...
And yet you lived. This is my memory of the Battle of Desert of 1,000 Craters. It was the bloodiest battle in the Wolven King War. The real me tore through the battlefield to get to that oasis and confront the Wolven Kings. Sadly, you will not be able to do the same.
Why not? Just tell me how to... But you're not going to, are you? You're going to trap me in this memory. In this endless battle, aren't you? Idris nodded.
I've taken over your body. There's nothing you can do to stop me.
Doubtful. Seems to me all I have to do is get to that oasis and see how the memory ends, rather than die on this battlefield.
That's easier said than done. Everyone here wants to kill you. I nearly died hundreds of times when this battle happened, and I was a master of nullification fabricating and weaving. You don't even understand the full extent of your abilities, much less mine.
His face grew grim.
You don't stand a chance in 1,000 lifetimes.
My persistence outmatches my intelligence. I'll get to that oasis, finish this memory, and take back my body.
You'll go mad long before you reach the end.
Idris began to dissolve away.
Goodbye, Michael. I'll look after your friends and family if I can. I'm sorry it had to be like this.
After the first 100 deaths, my mind began to bleed into the battlefield. Buildings from Hollow, falling apart and ruinous, sprouted out of the sand, as if uncovered after a harsh storm. Kingman Keep was followed by Hollow Castle and all the other high noble keeps, and then the green and white striped house from my nightmares. I avoided that place as if it were a plague that would consume me if given the chance. Without knowing how or why, I was confident the door to my desires was in that building, but I had no intention of seeing it. Some things deserve to remain hidden, or so the beautiful lie went. It took 100 deaths to learn to redirect lightning and fire with perfect efficiency. Ice took another 50. I wasted 150 deaths trying to figure out if I could redirect wind. I couldn't, but I could mitigate being pushed or pulled around at the fabricator's or weaver's whims. By the time I died 400 times, I had trouble remembering my loved ones' faces and names. So I abandoned them. We would meet again, and when we did, I would ask for their forgiveness. But in the meantime, I turned my hatred into a source of strength, pushing forward no matter what. For 100 deaths in the early 1000s, I wandered the battlefield naked, with a bottle of wine, like a madman. The sight of me drove many away, and I killed those who chose to stop and fight. In that span, I learned how to beat metal and wood fabricators with my bare hands. The trick was to nullify a small part of my body so they only fought with their own flesh. My sanity didn't recover until the numbers I carved onto my body were scars in my mind rather than on my flesh. And even then, it took me 100 more deaths until I remembered my goal. I died 500 times to darkness fabricators and weavers and grew no closer to stopping them than I was at the beginning. Those with a light specialization were the same. Something about how their magic twisted and hid made it impossible to redirect it back at them. And so I resigned myself to nullifying the area and fighting without magic whenever I ran into them. Each one was practice for whoever my mercenary mentor had been. And for every time I fought and died against one, I fought them another 3 or 4 times, until that loss was a fluke rather than a pattern. I didn't even realize I had made it to the center of the battle. Titans walking around me and creating minor earthquakes whenever their hoofs hit the ground, since I was in the process of taking on a blood fabricator who had wrecked half a division of soldiers. I cut his throat with his own hardened blood, and stood in front of the wall of rain in disbelief. I had died so many times, yet finally reached my goal. Domei approached me from behind carefully, likely wondering if cutting through so many soldiers had left me with any shred of humanity. Truth be told, I didn't know if I was mad or simply thought I was mad to cope with what I had done. How many times had I died? The number on the back of my hand was hard to make out with all the blood covering my body.
You did well, Idris.
Domei's hand hovered over my shoulder, but then he shook it and returned it to his sword hilt.
Do you need a moment to collect yourself?
No. Let's get on with it. We passed through the wall of rain together to confront the Wolven Kings in silence. But rather than a crowd waiting for me inside, there was only one person. A conglomeration of shadows made human, twisting and contorting and sucking in all the light around us. It was leaning over the edge of a pool of clear water, gently creating ripples as it ran its fingers over the surface. The two whole moons hung directly above, as if framing them. At the sound of my entrance, it rose and turned to me.
You're not supposed to be here.
Yet, I am. I whipped my sword through the air, sending droplets of sweat and blood and whatever black bile the Titans ran on to the sand below. Which Wolven King are you?
None of them. And you misunderstand me. Idris is supposed to be here. You are not Michael Kingman.
What did you just say?
Michael Kingman. The middle child of... brother to Leonardo Cityborn and Gwendolyn of the Wolves. By divine luck, or modern stupidity, you are the last of us. My final descendant. And here we are, the first and the last, meeting inside a dragon's memories.
The first Kingman. Seriously? But how are you talking to me like this? Are your memories-
Shut up. There's no layers of memories or anything. The rules apply differently to me. Every version of me that ever was, except for a few stolen by that asshole immortal fool, can be viewed simultaneously by my consciousness. Consider it one of the benefits when you break the natural order of things.
They thumbed toward the broken moon.
Or did you assume a Wolven King was responsible for that? No, it was me. I shattered Salona and stopped the Wolven Kings from taking control of the world.
The first Kingman shattered Salona. That revelation should have shattered me, broken my persona or my sense of self, confirmed my worst fear that the Kingman family truly were the villains of history. But I felt my mouth twitching upward, slowly turning into a broader smile.
You did well to get here, but you can't move forward as you are. You fought with rage to cross that battlefield. And if we are to meet again, then I need a protector, not an embodiment of vengeance. That was my way, but it will not be my descendants.
Why not?
Because one day you will have to kill me. And if you are the last, you must live for both our sakes.
No! I'm fine with being a villain, with breaking the world to reset it, but I refuse to let you dictate me any longer. You've had a say in every part of my life, from my birth to my death. I've inherited your eyes, your hopes, your regrets, and even your will. No more. You want me to stop you? Fine, but on my terms.
Pride welled in my chest as I stood straight, face to face with my ancestor.
I'm going to reunite Salona. Maybe not today, or tomorrow, or in a decade or a century, but one day I will fix your mistakes. I swear it not on our family, our legacy, or any of that other nonsense, but on my ego. I have inherited your legacy. I am the worst Kingman that ever will be. I'm going to destroy you, end our family, and free us from our amber-eyed curse.
You truly are mine.
Its smile was soft, almost approving.
I'm going to send you back to the beginning now, with a few changes, just in case your body remembers the path. When you reach the oasis again, you'll find Idris. Remember that this is your mind. You are in control of every aspect of it. Use that to defeat him.
The ground began to swallow me whole, and no matter how hard I struggled to resist or nullify my body, I sank down.
The third name. I need the third Woven King's name. Give me that, and I'll find you before you know it.
I can't. I'm sorry. I can only leave you with one thing, and it's better you will remember how our meeting felt. I hope it will be enough to shape your path forward. Hate is temporary, but love is forever.
My ancestor backed away. The shadows around their face started to disappear, revealing their bright amber eyes, and I saw the first Kingman had been a woman. Knowing that felt like a secret only we shared.
May we meet again, Michael.
The battle raged on as if none of my deaths had happened. Dome was by my side.
Get on with it, Idris. You're not scared of them, are you?
I took Idris's dagger off my hip, carved the number 3 on the back of my right hand, cracked my neck, and then charged into the swarm of soldiers. How many deaths would I suffer here before I reached my goal? Dozens? Hundreds? Thousands? It didn't matter. Madness be damned, I would never give up. I'd see my family again. I didn't even realize I had made it to the center of the battle. Titans walking around me and creating minor earthquakes whenever their hoofs hit the ground, since I was in the process of taking on a blood fabricator who had wrecked half a division of soldiers. I cut his throat with his own hardened blood and stood in front of the wall of rain in disbelief. I had died so many times, yet finally reached my goal. Dome approached me from behind carefully, likely wondering if cutting through so many soldiers had left me with any shred of humanity. Truth be told, I didn't know if I was mad or simply thought I was mad to cope with what I had done. How many times had I died? The number on the back of my hand was hard to make out with all the blood covering my body.
You did well, Idris.
Dome's hand hovered over my shoulder, but then he shook it and returned it to his sword hilt.
Do you need a moment to collect yourself?
No. I'm ready to go home. But rather than enter the oasis, I went somewhere else. Somewhere wrong. Idris awaited me in a strange room made from a patchwork of glyph-carved sandstone. Multicolored light shone in through the stained glass windows, and there was a tall basin of water in the direct center of the room. Idris stood in front of it, carefully scooping the water up in his hands, some spilling through his fingers, before he brought it to his lips. He drank as if each sip might be his last.
You actually did it. I'm almost impressed. Of course, I'll have to throw you into a different memory now, one you'll never escape from.
Do you remember what you told me back on the battlefield? That I wouldn't be able to beat you in 1,000 lifetimes? I wiped the blood onto my trousers and then showed him the number on the back of my hand. 9999. This was the one death I couldn't waste. So I remembered all the ones that had led to this one. All that suffering had to amount to something. Else I was nothing more than a madman with a death wish.
Care to see if that's still the case after 10,000?
I stepped closer to Idris.
You lied to me. The third Woven King's name isn't in your memories. And trust me, I looked.
It isn't? Odd. I was almost certain it would be. What happened when you entered the oasis?
I arrived here.
What? That's... How far did they go to hide what happened there that day?
They can do whatever they want. Tell me his name.
I don't know it. It should have been there, and if it's not, then their magic reaches far beyond anything you could ever fathom.
He turned his head to the side.
If they can even influence people's memories, how can they ever be reached?
This is bullshit. If not here, then where could it be? Why is the third brother's name harder to find than all the others?
His husband erased his name from history as punishment.
His husband? The third Woven King was married? To who?
Isn't it obvious? An endless abyss of loneliness isn't created without help. And judging from the memories of yours I've seen, his husband spent a millennium grieving. His love betrayed him. So he betrayed his love and rebuilt the foundation of this world out of spite.
Idris snapped his fingers, and Charles Dome materialized in front of me. The immortal man wore no smile, but then he never did.
Is it better to have loved and lost, or never have loved at all? I'm sure Dome is very torn on this issue.
His parents are dead, He has no siblings, and I haven't seen him kiss someone, let alone sire a child. That shrine is everything to him.
What are those for? Are they for a lady?
Not a lady. The lady.
Oh, no. I tilted my head upward. I suddenly felt very, very sick.
Patron Victoria was his sister, wasn't she? I burned down his sister's grave.
Her full name was Lady Javi Victoria of Wolvengard. And the last time anyone hurt her, Domei ruined the world in revenge. He didn't know which Wolven King killed her. Still might not, because none of them took responsibility. So he treated them equally, wiping out their names, their legacies, their empires. Took the throne they all craved so badly for himself. And then he gave it away to a regular, ordinary man. Not even his husband. His one true love was spared from his wrath. It's nothing short of divine intervention that you're still alive.
I was about to be sick. Of all the stupid things I had ever done, what would Domei be planning for me in revenge? Now that I had severed all ties with him, I didn't even know if he was in Hollow. I had severely underestimated him.
Since we've settled that.
Idris took another drink of water from the basin as the liquid slowly turned black and rancid. If he dipped his hands in it again, I half expected his skin to melt away.
What's your plan, Michael?
I steeled myself. I couldn't do anything about Domei until I got my body back. Until then, nothing else mattered.
Nothing in my life has been easy, but I won't fail here.
Oh, you will. You've never stood a chance against me.
Idris kicked over the basin, letting the black content spill all over the floor. It melted away and exposed a hazy vortex below, lined with teeth. The black liquid ate away at everything until there was a massive crater between us. Idris's features began to morph, elongating and twisting into something between a man and a dragon. A tail sprouted from his tailbone, along with two rainbow-colored membrane wings that shone in the light. His teeth were all jagged points, his dark skin was layered with grayish-white scales, and his eyes were a brilliant red. Idris raised his hand as if summoning lightning, and armor materialized over his body, shimmering in and out of existence with every heartbeat. He created a longsword from nothing, more akin to crystallized light than forged steel. Idris pointed the blade at me.
You can't beat me, Michael.
Can't I?
I gathered that warmth in my chest.
I learned a lot on that battlefield. Like what good and bad matchups for specializations are.
I nullified the immediate area.
Two people fighting with nullify specializations is like stabbing yourself with a dull knife.
Idris's armor and weapons melted away.
But here's the thing. We're in my mind. In here, I'm king. You shouldn't have given me time to learn so much.
I clenched my fists, and the walls around us fell like trees. Four shadowy figures appeared, walking over the swirling vortex below as if it was solid ground. Each was one of the people I loved the most. Gwen was in the south, Serena was in the north, Naomi was in the east, and Trey was in the west. Each of them held chains that they threw at Idris, impaling him with the hooks at the end of each and forcing him to the ground like a trapped animal. He fought. He tried to use his sword to slash through the chains that held him, but it passed through them like air. I floated over the gap between us and landed in front of the wiggling dragon man.
This shouldn't be possible. I was in control.
You're right. It shouldn't. You had all the power. Until you let me get wiser.
The chains tightened around him.
Us humans are nothing more than a collection of memories that form a personality, so of course understanding their defining moments makes someone easy to control. That's what happened to you in Rion's mind, wasn't it? Even a fool like me can put the pieces together, given enough time. I'm sorry it had to be like this. You shouldn't have tried to take over my mind.
Do you even want to go back? You haven't opened your own door yet. This might be your only chance.
I'm a broken man either way. At least one path will let me be with my family.
Idris's dragon form faded away, and only a mortal man remained.
And then do what you must. Purge my memories from your mind.
I plopped down cross-legged in front of him.
No thanks.
What?
I need you. I needed you when I ate your memories, and that hasn't changed. Although it's a shame you don't know the third's name. I could have really used that.
What else could you need me for?
Isn't it obvious? You're going to lead my body straight to a Wolven King without anyone knowing.
I smiled at him.
And then, once Alphonse is in sight, I'm going to lock you in this room with the chains of delusions I'll never admit to and leave you here for all eternity. Or until I need you again.
And here I thought Rian was a monster. How naive of me.
Naivete can be fixed in time. Now, where's Alphonse?
The Legacy of the Mercenary King 3, The Voyage of the Forgotten by Nick Martell is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2022 by Nick Martell. All rights reserved. Recorded with the permission of the author. Production copyright 2024 Graphic Audio LLC. All rights reserved. Narrated by Nick J. Russo and Terrence Aselford. Featuring Nick J. Russo as Michael, Torian Brackett as Idris, Keith Richards as Dark, Amanda Forstrom as Gwen, and Carolyn Kashner as Serena. With additional performances by Bradley Foster Smith, Chris Davenport, Christopher Graybill, Christopher Walker, Cody Roberts, Crystal Lee, Danny Gavigan, David Quiqui, Dawn Ursula, Eva Wilhelm, Gabriel Michael, Kayla Rivera, Karen Novak, Ken Jackson, Lamont Ridgel, Laura C. Harris, Lydia Craniotis, Marissa Clay, Matthew Pauly, Mike Carnes, Natalie Van Sistine, Nazia Chaudhry, Richard Rowan, Stephanie Namet Parker, Stephen Carpenter, Taylor Coan, Wayne Leggett, and Wynn Delano. Directed and adapted for graphic audio by Nathaniel Perry. Produced by Colin Delaney, Scott McCormick, David Zitney, Casey Green, and Aaron Coe. Executive producer Angie Cornett, Dwayne Beeman, and Matt Webb. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Nathaniel Perry. If you enjoyed The Legacy of the Mercenary King, you might also enjoy Red Rising, Sons of Eris by Pierce Brown and Rick Hoskin. All these titles and many more are now available at www.graphicaudio.net. Keep listening to hear a preview from Red Rising Saga 1, Red Rising.
Mustang tackles someone off the battlements. I slide tackle one of the archers as he levels his bow at her. Outside, Pax shouts for me to open the gates. He's actually crying for combat. I follow Mustang down into their courtyard, jumping from the parapets down to where she fights a big Siri student. I end the boy with my elbow and take my first glimpse of the Bread Fortress. The castle is an unfamiliar design. A courtyard leading to several buildings and a huge keep where the bread bakes, making my stomach rumble. But all that matters to me is the gate. We rush to it. Shouts from behind us. Too many for us to fight. We get to the gate just as three dozen House Ciri students run at us across the courtyard from their keep.
Hurry!
Milia shoots arrows at the enemy from the parapets. Then,
hurry!
I open the gate. He shoves me aside. He's shirtless, massive, muscled, screaming. His hair is painted white and spiked with sap to form two horns. A piece of wood as long as my body serves as his club. The House Ciri students flinch back. Some fall, some stumble. A boy screams as Pax thunders close.
Pax, I'll tell mothers!
He wants no nickname as he charges forward like a minotaur possessed. When he hits the mass of House Ciri students, it is ruin. Boys and girls fly through the air like chaff on reaping day.
Thanks for listening to this Graphic Audio production. Graphic Audio has over 1,700 titles to choose from. Listen to over 225 binge-worthy series. We feature titles in genres like science fiction, fantasy, romantasy, westerns, mystery thrillers, comics, and more. Check out our exclusive series such as Deathlands, Rogue Angel, Outlanders, Tangent Knights, and Agent of Exiles, which are only available in our dramatized adaptation format. Experience a radically different type of audiobook produced with a full cast, sound effects, and cinematic music. Listen to a movie in your mind, on the go, anytime, anywhere. Our dramatized adaptation titles are available at all major audiobook retailers and platforms. Sign up for our email newsletter for the latest updates and new releases. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and other social platforms. For more information and samples of all our titles, visit our website at graphicaudio.net.